Welcome back to Slightly Offensive, the best, worst show on Blaze TV. I think we have confetti that's supposed to come down right there. Yep, there it is. Looking really good. This is your favorite host, me, Elijah Schaefer, and we have a serious question that we're asking today. Who actually won the debate? Fox News even brought that up. Trump and Biden both showed down on the stage, and it's polarizing not only Twitter, but believe it or not, there's more to the world than just that online website. To help me answer that question today, I have a guest on the show, Sydney L. Watson.
Is that my new thing, my new moniker?
Yeah, isn't that what your name is on Twitter?
It is that on Twitter, yes.
Today, Twitter's real life. We're actually only going by Twitter.
Well, no, I'm fine with that. I mean, that means that I'm pretty sure in the past you've said that my Twitter is basically me just being an Australian bitch, so is that it? Is that me now?
It's true. Well, you're not the only person who's been, I have bad words for. We're going to talk about a lot of craziness today, including the fact that we realized that most verified users on Twitter have mental IQs of a four-year-old. On top of that, we're going to look at Trump and Biden's strongest and weakest moments. And we're going to try to be fair here to really look at this accurately on who performed better. Mm-hmm. Because if you see this down here on this Fox News article, what's really important is it says that once Trump and Biden got their hit strides, most people felt strongly about their preferred candidate. Conservative actor James Wood declared Trump the clear winner, as did most of the president's supporters. But then liberal actress turned activist Alyssa Milano was among the Biden supporters who had a completely different takeaway than Wood's. Liberal CNN audience preferred Biden, while the NRA declared Trump the winner. MSNBC's anti-Trump Morning Joe namesake Joe Scarborough said most people thought the debate was a wash. And because even Fox News, which you'd expect to be biased towards Trump,
right,
says that pretty much nobody can decide who the winner is, we're going to try to decide that in today's show.
Well, I mean, I suppose that I understand why people have... look, if you support the president, more often than not, more likely than not, you're going to walk away thinking that he did really well. And I personally think he did perform really well. I think most of us can agree that while we do enjoy a feisty Trump, he was pretty cool, calm, and collected last night. And I think that's what's, important. And that was enjoyable to watch. But by the same token, I think there's a real personability and likability with Biden that a lot of people probably resonate with, especially, people like Alyssa Milano, who, she's going to defend him down to the ground no matter what happens. We've already seen that. She'll defend him no matter what he does. I don't think that she's an accurate representation of his base. But, I think that a lot of people like the fact that Biden is, he comes across kind of sweet. Whereas, Trump comes across, like someone who might rip your face off.
Come on, man.
I'm just...
Come on.
It's malarkey.
Come on, that's malarkey. We're going to talk about that. But first, I have a serious question for you. What are you drinking right now?
Tea. Coffee. It's usually tea, but now we're in a...
You needed coffee. And you know why you're drinking coffee? Because you were very tired this morning.
I was, yes.
Yeah. Okay. So I'm going to tell you this. Here at Slightly Offensive, we only drink the best coffee. Mm. Specifically, what is the best coffee in the world right now?
Is it Black Rifle?
It's Black Rifle coffee, yeah. Guys. Folks, I'm going to tell you this right now. Look at Sydney. She looks happy. She's enjoying herself. She's woken up. Do you want that same experience? Well, right now, if you go to blackriflecoffee.com/offensive, you can find out how to get 20% off your first order of the best cup of coffee, not only in America, but in the entire freaking world. Guys, this is a veteran-owned, veteran-operated business. You like the vets?
I do. I love the vets.
Yeah.
I'm about it.
Not just the dog vets, but also the soldiers. You like yourself a nice, hunky soldier, huh?
I do. I appreciate a man with some muscles.
Are you single?
Yeah, I am.
All right, guys. Well, hey, you can go to Sydney L. Watson on Twitter, or if you can't find and date a YouTube star, you could also do something right now and go to blackriflecoffee.com/offensive. I recommend you join the coffee club. It is the best way to get whatever you want shipped straight to your door. It's free shipping. Anyway, go to blackriflecoffee.com/offensive to get 20% off your order. I use the Keurig rounds, by the way. I'm just going to leave it at that. Anyway, let's go ahead and let's jump right into this. So guys, when we talk about who won the debate, let's just talk about the liberals first. Mm-hmm. They were quick to say that Trump not only lost, but Trump was so stupid. Did you hear about this, about the coyotes?
No.
Oh, yes. You've really been sleeping.
Yeah. Yes.
Let's bring up a tweet by David Hogg. Go ahead and look at the screen there. this is not a joke. You remember David Hogg from Parkland?
Yes, I do. Oh, I don't know.
Just read that out loud. This is the genuine tweet.
Imagine calling the immigrant parents that bring their children to the United States for a better life coyotes.
Coyotes.
The level of xenophobia is sickening. This kid...
He thought that that when Trump was saying, wait, this is really bad. I want to shock her mind. David Hogg.
Yeah.
Clearly probably has some PTSD from Parkland.
I would assume so, yeah.
I'm not making fun of him. We don't even know if he was there, but let's just get into this. He's really not the only person who declared Trump stupid because they thought that coyotes, Trump was talking about physical coyotes. Look at the amount of screenshots we were able to capture here. Look at some of these. These are all verified users. These are verified users. Let's keep going through this.
Oh,
people
no.
are saying coyotes. What does children brought here by coyotes mean? Everyone's asking, did Trump just say that children were brought to the border by coyotes? I mean, these are dozens and dozens. In fact, I believe there were close to 100 verified accounts that thought that they got Trump by thinking that Trump was so stupid that right. he had an opinion on this. But I mean, this is your first time seeing this. What are your thoughts on this?
Well, do they think he's talking about the animal coyotes?
Oh, yeah. We have a picture of that actually. Yep. There it is. You got a little Mexican kid on a coyote. Oh. That's what they think was happening.
How stupid can you be? I mean, if you were, like, to be fair, most of these verified Twitter people will work in media and will work in politics, theoretically, you know, besides like the celebrities and things. And most of us who have talked about the illegal immigrant debate know what coyotes are. Like, you have to know that if you work in the space. I don't understand. That's mental. I can't believe.
It's really sad, huh?
It's not shocking to me that David Hogg said that, though, because that kid has the IQ of a cabbage. But everyone else, at least we hold them to a little bit of a higher standard.
Yeah, and in fact, that's what my favorite one was from Darshan Kendrick. Is that a politician? I think so. I think that was a politician said, did real Donald Trump just say 545 kids, they can't find their parents? Four came over through cartels and coyotes. How the hell does a coyote bring a whole human across the border? Lord, stop talking. So I'm going to bring up this point here. When we talk about who won the debate, this is why it's really hard to trust Twitter.
Right.
Because when you talk about, like, imagine you live in this hole and you're in this echo chamber. People that don't know about that, there's algorithms. And you only see posts that agree with your worldview. There are millions potentially of Americans today that now believe that Trump famously said that the animal coyotes bring over little Mexicans. Can we bring that back on the screen? Bring them over. And so then in their mind, they're going to think, well, obviously Trump lost the debate.
Right.
Because Trump's an absolute blethering idiot.
Right. Yeah, no, exactly. But this is the problem, though, with thinking that Twitter is real life when it's not. Because your average person who probably watched that probably didn't even twig that was even a comment. But you're right. The people who are on Twitter, on social media, are going to be looking at these tweets and thinking, yeah, what an idiot this guy is. Coyotes can't carry children. They're quite heavy. Dingoes, on the other hand.
You know, and they've been pushing this. Do we have that article from Vox, Sav? Can we put that on the screen? So back in 2018, they actually even wrote an article. Does Trump think they are actual coyotes coming over the border?
I don't understand how journalists in particular, because let's be real, that's the name of traffickers or people who do this human trafficking. I don't know even what to call it, but people who, you know, facilitate people getting over the border illegally. That's what they're called. You can't work in media and be like a legitimate human being and a legitimate journalist and not know that. Like, there's a problem with people misconstruing this information. It's very clear that Trump is talking about people who traffic other people. That's what it's very clear.
Right. But you know what? Okay, let's go to this. Pew Research released an article. This is important. I have it open right here on my screen. And let's talk about the fact that it's hard to understand. That's what this is about. That it's difficult to understand who won based off of what echo chamber you're in.
Mm-hmm.
Now, people don't know that a lot of news actually comes from Twitter. It starts in Twitter and it ends up on YouTube.
Yep. That's true. No, I just go to trending sometimes when I'm like, what do I make a video about? And I see what's trending, or if I'm trying to like determine, you know, what people are interested in, what's actually what people are tweeting about usually is a really good indicator. So it's actually really strange when you think about that sets the narrative for the news week.
Right. And so that's why right now the pervading narrative is that Biden won. If you go, I can show you this right here. I mean, you go to CNN right here and it literally, the article's titled CNN poll, Biden wins the final presidential debate. But let's talk about this. So Pew did a research on October 15th talking about how information is
disseminated.
Disseminated. And it's titled The Differences in How Democrats and Republicans Behave on Twitter.
Mm-hmm.
It says a small minority of users create the vast majority of tweets from US adults. And 69% of these highly prolific tweeters are Democrats.
That doesn't shock me. When you're on Twitter, the people, like, I follow a lot of left-wing accounts. I'm sure that you do the exact same, because I feel like when you follow them, you get a better sense of what the other side actually thinks rather than just making it up. And I feel like that's what the left do a lot with us. They assume what we think rather than actually engaging with us. So that doesn't shock me at all that the majority of the, you know, the prolific tweeters are Democrats. That doesn't shock me.
No, because it doesn't. And it says this. It says, most U.S. adults on Twitter post only rarely, but a small share of highly active users, most of whom are Democrats, produce the vast majority of tweets.
Yep.
The center's analysis found that just 10% of users produced 92% of all tweets from U.S. adults since last November, and that 69% of these highly prolific users identify as Democrats or Democratic-leaning independents. A number of factors contribute to this phenomenon. Previous Twitter analysis by the center have found that platform contains a larger share of Democrats than Republicans. And in addition to being more prevalent on the site in general, the 10% most active Democrats typically produce roughly twice as many tweets in a month as the 10% most active Republicans.
But if we're talking about this seriously, then we have to take into consideration the fact that conservatives, I would say, probably don't have the time, or Republicans probably don't have the time to be on Twitter because they have jobs. Right. And then the other thing, too, is that the censorship that goes on. And I know that, you know, people might scoff at that and think it's ridiculous. But the fact of the matter is that a lot of right wing users, their ideas do not get out there, even if they are people that are actually tweeting every day. And you meet people all the time who go, I've got Twitter. Yeah. Like just, you know, regular everyday people. But their tweets never go anywhere. They never get seen because Twitter obviously puts a concerted effort into staunching and stopping the ideas that come out of, you know, Republican mouths. So I don't even think that this stuff is actually representative of the broader population, because how could it be?
Yeah, and I think that that's where we get confused too, because people go, well, how do I know what to believe? And that's when you see like, polls and studies. It's like, you see how dishonest polls can even be, because they go from their Twitter poll and CNN, it goes, well, I mean, hey, we won the Twitter poll because so Biden won. And you go, well, 70% of the most active people who would have shared it are Democrats.
Are Democrats.
So 7 out of 10. So that's when we get a skewed perspective and the Democrats go, how did we lose? How did we lose the last election? Hillary won every debate. She was set to win. Mm-hmm. And you go, it's because you guys are perpetrating a network of false information that is not based on science, but it's based on what your algorithms and your echo chamber are producing.
Yeah, exactly. I think the other thing too, like I look at people like James Woods, for example, who's obviously massive on Twitter. I don't think I know of a single massive Democratic user that's been banned in the way that, you know, for instance, James Woods was offline for ages because he got banned off of Twitter. And he's someone who obviously, I think he sets a bit of a narrative in terms of what conservatives and what Republicans and things are sharing. Just him, for example. Think about how many of him there are, how many people like him who are just constantly banned off of the platform. So yes, you're right in the sense that I always think about Project Veritas, for example. Now, whether or not people like what they produce or think that they're good journalists, I think they do an excellent job of exposing some of the nastiness and the horribleness that goes on, you know, in these major networks and things. But Project Veritas, for example, their stuff will actually be trending, where they'll have, you know, thousands upon thousands upon thousands of retweets and hashtags and things relating to the information that they found. And it never shows up in the trending page. It never shows up. So if you really think about it logically, if you have, you know, and that's just one example, if you have people like Project Veritas or, you know, organization like Project Veritas actually setting a narrative, having people take interest in what they're doing, and it still doesn't show up on the trending page, then how accurate is that information? Not very.
Right. That's why we got to watch this stuff ourselves. But before we get into that, I want to remind you that, you know, that's why it's so important to remember that information can be controlled and can be manipulated by other people, including your online account information. That's why I want to tell you about an incredible thing that I use on all my devices, on my phone, on my computer, and it's called a VPN. And if you don't know what a VPN is, or as you like to call it, a VPN.
A VPN? That's my,
Yeah, but what is a VPN? I mean, really, truly.
It is a virtual private network that helps to encrypt your data.
Yeah, that's actually a true statement. So right now, if you go to expressvpn.com/offensive, with just a few clicks, you can protect every single device that you have from anybody who wants to steal your information, including your provider, your internet provider. Now, what's important is sometimes people take your information, they sell it to other companies. You don't know how they're using it. It can be sold to foreign countries. It can be manipulated. And that's why it's so important that you continue to not only have home security, or that you might own a weapon or whatever you do, you know, a lock on your car. Lock your devices as well and make sure that you are getting the best protection out there. Anyway, go to expressvpn.com/offensive right now to find out how you can get 3 months free of a year subscription. It is one of the best choices you can make. You have VPNs on your devices?
I do have a VPN.
Well, guys, get the best VPN in America. Go to expressvpn.com/offensive today. Let's look at some of these clips. So we're going to jump right into the clips now, and we're going to really talk about these specifically by looking at Biden's weakest moment, which then turns into Trump's strongest moment, and then Trump's weakest moment and Biden's strongest moment. Let's roll as Biden, I think his weakest moment is where he diverted from China to them talking to families. Let's watch that.
Excuse me, no, I have to respond to that.
Okay. Very quickly, and then we're going to move on to North Korea.
With $1.5 billion from China to manage after spending 10 minutes in office and being in Air Force Two, number one. Number two, there's a very strong email talking about your family wanting to make $10 million a year for introductions.
President Trump, on China policy, though, what specifically are you going to do? What specifically are you going to do to make China pay? You've said you're going to make them pay.
China is paying. They're paying billions and billions of dollars. I just gave $28 billion.
New sanctions?
I just gave $28 billion to our farmers.
Taxpayers' money.
It's what?
Taxpayers' money. Didn't come from China.
You know who the taxpayer is? It's called China. China paid $28 billion, and you know what they did to pay it, Joe? They devalued their currency, and they also paid up. And you know who got the money? Our farmers, our great farmers, because they were targeted. You never charged them anything. Also, I charged them 25% on dumped steel because they were killing our steel industry. We were not going to have a steel industry.
Okay.
And now we have a steel industry.
Okay. Vice President Biden, your response, please.
My response is, look, this isn't about there's a reason why he's bringing up all this malarkey. There's a reason.
There's the word.
He doesn't want to talk about the substantive issues. It's not about his family and my family. It's about your family. And your family's hurting badly. If you're making less than, if you're a middle class family, you're getting hurt badly right now.
What does this have to do with
you're
China?
At the kitchen table
no
this
idea.
Morning deciding,
nothing.
Well, we can't get new tires. They're bald because we it's have to no wait response, another that's month why. Or so. Or are we going to be able to pay the mortgage? Or who's going to tell her she can't go back to community college? They're the decisions you're making.
Community college is free in most states.
I grew up in Scranton and Claymont. They're in trouble. We should be talking about your families, but that's the last thing he wants to talk about.
I want to talk about North Korea.
This is why it was his weakest.
Statement.
Watch this.
Let's get off this China thing. And then he looks. The family, around the table, everything. Just a typical politician when I see that.
Let's talk
I'm
about
I'm not
North
a typical
Korea.
Politician.
Okay,
that's why I got elected.
Let's
get off the subject of China. Let's talk around sitting around the table.
All right.
Come on, Joe. You can do better.
Okay, so let's go there. Strong points coming out of that.
Right.
Trump completely grills him on China. He has a great chance mm-hmm. to really speak about the truth here and to set the record straight. Mm-hmm. He starts by saying, not true, which mm-hmm. is his number one deflection. Then he says that this is malarkey, which most Americans, I would say, still don't really know what malarkey is. It sounds like something kids do when the parents aren't around. But,
but what you do in the bathtub on the old occasion.
Yeah. But the thing is that on top of that, then he goes in and then he just starts talking to the families and Trump calls him out on it. He's honest. Dude, you're literally just being a complete slimy politician ignoring mm-hmm. the truth. And I'm not that way. I'm an outsider. And he came back to his message of I'm an outsider. I'm not a politician. That's mm-hmm. why you voted for me. You should vote for me again.
Right. I mean, the thing about it is people need to remember that Biden has been in a position of political authority, power, whatever you want to call mm-hmm. it, for, you know, like nearly 50 years. That's a long time. So of course he's just going to, I reckon in most cases, give an answer like that because that's what he's been trained to do. The fact is that he didn't have an actual response to this conversation about China, which is why he deflected. Mm-hmm. Trump, on the other hand, and I think this is, I really liked what he said here. I love the fact that he called Biden out. Not because I support Trump and because I don't support Biden. That's not it. I just like the fact that he actually said for once, and I like it when this happens. I like when politicians get called out for the nonsense that they say. They're trying to have a serious conversation about an actual issue because the Democrats and the left love to go on about Russia and China and blah. And when you finally actually sit down and start having a proper conversation about it, if it doesn't suit their narrative, where that the direction that that conversation's going, they'll try to deflect. The fact that he called it out, I think, was honestly so cathartic to watch a politician basically tell another politician to basically sit down and shut up, so to speak. Because what he was saying was nonsense. Yes, it is about families, yes. But this is not the conversation that we're having. I love that right. he said something about it.
Yeah, I want to remind you guys, too, like, you know, the idea of these politicians, these people controlling everything. Just remember to hit the button and subscribe to this channel and to really hit up the bell. Please, I mean, I'm telling you, we have so much going against us. Like, just like Joe Biden completely ignored answering the question. He ignores the fact that his son is caught in a scandal, that he's caught in a scandal. The media backs them up. We get hit really hard online. And you know, people just get unsubscribed from this channel every day. We get dozens of people telling us 10th time, 9th time they've gotten unsubscribed. So make sure you click that. But so I think Trump was really strong there. I think he came out strong. But I hate when like The Blaze even or Fox News is like, you know, Dan Bongino is just like Trump won. And it's like, well, explain yourself. So mm-hmm. he came out strong there.
Sure.
But he also has this weird way of talking sometimes, which I love in some occasions, but I think is also somewhat weird,
jarring almost.
Yeah, where this is his. I think this was his weakest moment.
Mm-hmm.
Very bizarre, but also Joe sort of made it even worse by. We'll listen. Let's watch this.
I am the least racist person. I can't even see the audience because it's so dark. But I don't care who's in the audience. I'm the least racist person in this room.
Okay, Vice President Biden, Abraham, let me ask you very quickly, and then I have a follow-up question for you.
Abraham Lincoln here is one of the most racist presidents we've had in modern history. He pours fuel on every single racist fire, every single one. Started off his campaign coming down the escalator saying he's going to get rid of those Mexican rapists. He's banned Muslims because they're Muslims. He has moved around and made everything worse across the board. He says to about the poor boys, last time we were on stage here, he said, I told him to stand down and stand ready.
Can we cut that for a second? So there's three parts here. Trump really blew it with the chance. When he says things like, I'm the least racist person in this room.
Oh, it leaves him so open to just getting absolutely gutted for anything and everything he's ever said.
Why can't he be reasonable, like with America, be like, America's not a racist country, and I'm an American, and I'm not racist either. And most Americans, I stand with the rest of this country where we say we stand against that. Like, why can't it just be ever humble for one moment?
Yeah.
And it's always, and that's when he leaves himself always to be talked about those moments of his comments, which of course are taken out of context. He said some of them are good people. Still a bad quote from the get-go.
I think, look, when this was happening, I didn't quite connect with it. Watching it back, it's dicey. However, I do understand why he said it. I'm not defending his words. I just get why he said it. And when you are talking in the moment, sometimes you're just not as precise as you want to be. But I think his thing is because people have attacked him since the get-go for being racist, for these, and Biden perfectly exemplified why, for these comments that are taken out of context or misconstrued in a way that's not quite 100% what he said. And also, context matters. It really does matter. So this poor person, this poor man, I mean, maybe that's not fair, but
these poor boys. You do realize, though, that Biden's response to that included calling Trump Abraham Lincoln and then referring to the Proud Boys as the poor boys.
So, I know. It's so confused.
It's like watching a sad moment where Trump blew it.
Yeah.
And it's like, this was his moment, I think, where he blew it to really make a stand and condemn. You know, he can really come out there and be like, look, I'm not racist. I stand against that. I know he's done it before. Republicans always say he said it so many times. But then it's like, well, then Biden afterwards called the guy in front of him the dead president and also called the Proud Boys the poor boys, which is like, I assume most of them work.
Yeah, I mean, here's to hoping.
I assume most of them work. So it's like, at the same time, while it's Trump's weakest, it's like
oh, Biden made it infinitely worse.
Well, that's
Biden
what I'm saying. It's like Trump is weak, but it's like still a threshold above everything Biden said that night.
Right. I feel this is the problem with Biden, though. The guy gets confused. He gets confused and then he says things that are just nonsensical. And then we rip it apart because we go, who is this person that could potentially be the leader of this country, one of the most powerful countries in the world? Yeah. Why on earth are we putting this person in this position where, and he's exemplifying what he would be like in any other context. People forget that they're like, oh, Trump is being so mean. Trump is coming down hard on this person, yada, yada. But at the end of the day, what's it going to be like when Biden steps into a conversation or a public, filmed discussion, argument, whatever, with Russia, with a Russian leader, with a Chinese leader, with North Korea? Like, we have to put pressure on him, and you see how confused he gets. And honestly, like a really not threatening situation, how is he going to perform when it comes to actual serious discussions? That's what I want to know. Trump was well behaved last night. Wait,
I know, but look, there's this guy named Clay Travis. Can we put that up on the tweets here? He summarized this really well.
I enjoy him so much.
He said, and I want to read this. He said, Joe Biden's entire campaign is COVID fear porn.
So true.
That's it. The entire campaign. And Amber Athey said, Biden telling Americans that they're going to wake up tomorrow and missing a family member is ridiculous, irresponsible, fear-mongering, and directly contributes to the massive deaths of despair throughout the country. And I'm telling you, that's the message I got from Biden, where I feel like that's where he really was coming in overall the weakness, where he was saying, we have the dark winter coming. COVID, a dark winter. Americans, he points in there, someone's next to you is probably dead or they're dying or they're going to die real soon. And I'm like, holy, what? Like, and you're looking around and you're like, I did have empty spots on my couch last night. You were there. There were empty spots. Like, who died? Like, what?
What is this?
What have I missed? And it's like, it's so discouraging and dark. And, he says, I'm going to, like, look at this. I think there's somebody else that said right here, Sean Davis said, Biden's message tonight at the debate was pretty simple. He'll lock down the entire country, raise taxes, and destroy the U.S. energy industry, which I'm just saying his message was about destruction, destroy, take down, a dark corner. It's sad. People are dying. And you go, that is a different version of America than Trump. And that's where I think that overall, before we're getting to who we think won, I think Biden's message is a sad one, and I don't want that for my country.
Well, there's no hope in what he has to say. Everything's about, doom and gloom. But that is what the Democrats are driving at the moment, is doom and gloom. And it's not to say that the Republicans don't do it too. They do to a smaller extent. But whenever we have these conversations or take stock of what the Democrats are saying, it's all about don't do this, don't do that, no freedom here, no freedom there, take this away. You know, it's never like, oh, let's build each other up, let's improve things. There's no message of improvement ever. It's all about, everything's awful, and therefore, let's just make it worse. His whole thing, and I guess that when he was talking about, like a mask mandate for everyone, things like that. And when Trump brought up the fact that his basement comments where, Biden, not everyone can live in the basement. That's actually sort of representative, I guess, of where that whole campaign is at. Because if you've basically locked yourself away in the basement and that's how you're approaching life, then you're probably going to think that everyone else should approach it the same way too. If that's your solution to the pandemic, to a virus that kills really, what is it, like 0.14% of the population, your response to that is to lock yourself away, then of course you're going to expect everyone else to do the exact same thing. At the end of the debate, Biden kissed his wife with a mask on. They kissed each other with masks on. That is like the personification of the Biden message.
It's like having, I think we read a tweet that said it's like having sex with the blanket between you. it's like so weird. But before we rip into Biden, we give our conclusion. I do want to say Biden did have a strong moment because he dodged most questions.
He did
come out really strong. Let's cue Biden's strongest moment.
I have not taken a penny from any foreign source ever in my life. We learned that this president
paid
50 times the tax.
Literally, that was the strongest moment where he finally just clarified and came out. I don't know if it's true, but he at least said very clearly, which we have not gotten from his campaign, look, I just didn't take any money. He didn't say my son didn't. He didn't say I didn't. I have it myself.
He didn't
myself.
Say his brother didn't. Right.
Yes.
Right.
So at least he clarified.
Right.
Because he could win.
That's the only emphatic thing that he said all night. Truly, it was. I mean, everything else was, like you said, it's him dodging or him, throwing out random grenades at Trump about nonsensical half quotes. That was the only emphatic thing that he had to say. I mean, and look, at the end of the day, that the fact that we focus so much on Trump not paying his taxes or his marriage or, his grab him by the pussy comments, which I absolutely hate that. But, we focus so much on all this other stuff over here. And yet when it comes to the nefarious activities of the Biden family, I mean, I'm kind of happy that he said something about it because, there was really no discussion, and there should have been a discussion about Hunter Biden and what they've been doing. Although I did like that Trump called them, a vacuum cleaner?
Yeah.
A money-sucking vacuum cleaner, whatever it is. But yeah, that was the only emphatic thing that he had to say about it. And it was almost like he was touching on the issue because he knew that they weren't going to quite get into it. But I mean, he touched on it, right?
He's definitely touching on a lot of things, especially young girls and stuff,
but
that's what I'll say. So overall, I just want to say this. I think that when we look at this, who really won the debate, I think that it's fair to say that Trump had a stronger performance, that the muted mics worked in his favor, that he really came across back to his principles, his ideas. He was well composed. He had extremely good rebuttals, and he had a lot to point out that Biden really couldn't answer. He got Biden to admit, that he's going to find a way to get rid of fossil fuel industry. That's extremely damaging. That the thing to do is more. He said that Biden said he would re-lock down the country, that he would do more lockdowns. And, this is a person that tweet was correct. He's going to raise taxes, lock down the country, and he's going to destroy the energy industry. And that's his intentions. And for those reasons, I believe that Trump won very clearly. But I could see why people say that Biden won, because I think a lot of Republicans in their echo chamber don't realize that Biden actually isn't he's not a retard. Like, he has problems with gaffes, but he's actually a very articulate individual in some ways.
Yeah.
In some ways. But I'm saying they don't realize that he says other things other than those 2 second clips that they've seen. So I'm going to say that Trump won. But I'm going to say that Biden gave his strongest performance.
Well, yeah, Biden did a lot better but we've set the bar so low for Biden so that when he doesn't say stupid things, we're like, yes, go Biden. Good job. But I agree with you in the sense that, I think Trump did really well. I like the fact that he was really composed, and I think he was very respectful, honestly. I think he was able to defend himself in a way that was useful and not aggressive. However, and I said this last night, actually, when we were watching, there's a likability about Biden. There is. There's something about him that's like a grandfather. Whereas with Trump, it's like he's, you know, he's kind of young, and you can see, like, young at heart, I mean. Whereas with Biden, there's sort of like this likability that I think really appeals to his base in the very least, and probably can appeal to moderates who will probably watch him and think, this person's not aggressive. He's not attacking Trump. He's not being, well, I, you know, he obviously will make these snide comments, which I think are really not helpful. But when he's juxtaposed next to someone as, you know, bombastic and as, well, I guess you could say volatile or maybe combative as Trump, people, you know, will look at that and probably think, well, this Biden is more presidential material than Trump. So, and I agree with you. I agree with your assessment, but I also understand why people think Biden won too.
Yeah, I do. And anyway, guys, if you make it this far in the podcast, I want to remind you that please go to Apple Podcasts, please go to Spotify, and leave us a 5-star review. It's free and it doesn't cost you anything. It's really a great way. I think we're up to 1,300 reviews now. Be one of them. Please support the show. It's a free way. Also remind you guys that this channel is pretty much completely demonetized. We don't make ad revenue, so we put ad placements like every single podcast does. Thank you so much for always supporting these amazing brands that partner with us and always checking us out. And sometimes our videos get taken down. They get censored. You can't see them. And the most assured way that you can always find our videos is by going to blazetv.com/slightlyoffensive using my code Elijah. It's our best deal ever. $30 off.
Very good.
$30 off a year subscription. It directly supports the show. Help you get access to everybody else like Crowder and Lauren Chen and Ali Stuckey and different hosts that we have on there. And it comes out to about $5 a month. So go to blazetv.com/slightlyoffensive. Use the code Elijah. Anyway, Sydney Watson, people can follow you where?
Oh, on YouTube, if you want to see me rant about a bunch of stuff. So all of my handles are different on every platform. Just
they're
to make
in the
it,
bio. They're in the bio. You don't need to plug them.
Oh, I was just going to say, they're just to make it really confusing.
Just click them.
YouTube.
Yeah.
And Twitter, if you want to see me be horrible to everyone.
Anyways, guys, thank you, Sydney, for coming on the show. You'll be on more often and I'll let you talk more next time. Have a great rest of the week, guys. And as always, may God bless the United States of America. I'm signing out.